You're listening to Muse Live. Anytime, any place, any show. Featuring the one and only Muse.
Thanks for tuning in to Muse Live. I'm your host, Thomas Hunt. And I am back. It has been a couple of months since I have uploaded to Muse Live, and I'm now returning to the podcast. It's been a pretty crazy couple of months. I've been going through a lot of different things, from my computer's just shutting down, not turning back on, getting what I like to call the black screen of death, which has now happened to pretty much all of my devices. I'm recording this right now on a MacBook from 2002. So if you hear a fan going on in the background, which I really hope you don't, because that would seriously mess up the audio quality. But hopefully that doesn't happen. It's a very old computer that I'm recording on right now. I've had a lot of technical problems, and what with a lot of stores nearby and repair shops nearby being shut down. I'm still waiting on my computer and my other recording devices getting fixed. I still have my microphone, so hopefully this will, I'll be able to pick up where I left off, but that's why I haven't been here for the past couple months. And now getting into it, the Loki finale after show, which I wanted to get into forever. I've wanted to upload this, but I've just had a bunch of problems. First off, congratulations to Marvel. They've had a little bit of a rocky start with their Disney Plus shows. As you all know, I was a big fan of WandaVision all the way up into the finale, where I feel like it just suddenly dropped off in quality, and I could see nothing but plot holes. And I've talked about that a lot here on the podcast, and you guys are probably sick of hearing about it. And to be honest, I don't blame you, but just doing a quick recap, so we can kind of pick up where we left off. I wasn't a big fan of the finale in that series, but the rest of it was great. It was a really good start. Finale was not great. Then we had Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which ironically was the one I was most excited about when these shows were announced. And I said, you know, it had the potential to either be really, really good or really, really bad. And, you know, some people see it different ways. I really did not like it. They introduced John Walker, who's another one of my favorite characters. And a lot of people seem to hate him. So overall, the series, I don't think it was very good. It's ranked the lowest in all of the Disney Plus series Marvel has done so far, simply because they ruined, number one, they ruined Sam's character. They completely changed, everything about him. And then, they also ruined Sharon's character. They ruined a lot. The writer for that show, I'm gonna be honest, I don't know who did it. It just really sucked. There was one episode that I did kind of enjoy, and I learned later why, because it was directed by, I think, the same person who did either John Wick 2 or John Wick 1. Actually, strike that, it might have been John Wick 3. I don't know, one of the John Wick films, which are some of my favorite movies. Those movies are amazing. I'm getting off track, though. And the finale for that was, again, disappointing. John Walker, at least they didn't, like, I don't know, make John Walker into some, like, massive villain. Like they seemed to be trying to do, and it wasn't justified at all. And then at the same time, they were trying to make Carly Morgenthau, oh, she's a relatable character. She's really just a good person. No, she's a terrorist. She blew up buildings and committed terroristic acts for political motivation, which is, I mean, she's the textbook definition of a terrorist. I really don't care what her backstory is. She's a terrorist. And they try to play it that it was all, you know, oh, it's sad. She got shot and died. Oh, Carly Morgenthau, what are we going to do without you? And then, I mean, even that I could have let go. But the fact that they had Sam at the end come forward, and I've actually seen the sad part is I've actually seen some people be like, that speech was really powerful. Literally what he did is he went up to the people and he basically told them that they needed to do better, and that there were they were messing up, that they told them they were messing up on some things that they needed to do better, and so they were like looking to him for help and guidance, because he's taken up the mantle of Captain America and so they were looking to him as a leader, and all he said was do better, repeated that, and then, you know, decided to soar off or walk off. I'm not sure, either he soared off or walked off. Either way, just leaves. Doesn't offer any solutions, just tells them that they suck at their jobs, and leaves. Doesn't try to help, offer any possible solutions. No, just, okay, I've said my piece. And people are like, wow, that was really powerful. The other thing I didn't like about that series was that they tried to make it all about race. And it's just not necessary. Did it call for it anywhere? No. I mean, Sam's whole character was just that. I mean, the main thing about his character was that he was a military guy, you know? And I come from a big military family, and that's one of the reasons I was a big fan of Sam. And I mean, the fact that he stood with Cap on in Civil War, which, by the way, yes, I'm totally team Cap. But they took away this whole military thing that he was part of the military. I mean, they barely mentioned it. That was kind of a large part of his character, and that's why he and Steve got along so well, is because they both had military backgrounds. They both understood what it was like to fight in wars and to actually be a soldier. All they really seem to talk about with Sam's character here is that he's black, and it really doesn't matter. I mean, I don't care if he's black, if he's Asian, if he's, I don't know, Scottish. It doesn't matter. As long as he's, you know, like a good fit for Captain America, sure, great, Captain America. He can take up the role, and I think Sam is a good fit for the role. What they did was character assassination. They completely changed his character. There are two Sams in my mind. There's the Sam from the Falcon and Winter Soldier series, and then there's the Sam from the rest of the MCU. Sam, the rest of the MCU, would have made a great Captain America. He's a military. He's a military leader. He's got lots of expertise. He's just a good choice for the role. And then he was on Team Cap. I can say without a shadow of a doubt, if the version of Sam in Falcon and Winter Soldier would have totally been on Iron Man's side, Team Iron Man. And it just goes to show how much they drastically changed the character. I'm sorry, I'm going on about this again. My point is, I need to talk about Loki. Loki was so good. It was definitely the best. It was the one that I was the least excited for. And it is the one it just blew me out of the water. I was not expecting it to be this good, and it was so good. Boom. The finale, by the way, I was a little bit worried about the finale. I did not need to be. It was stellar. It was amazing. The first Disney Plus finale that left me satisfied, and it was just a good finale. It wrapped things up nicely. I gave you a little tease for what's coming next, hopefully in season 2, which I think has been confirmed. But if not, then what's coming in, a little bit of spoiler here, Ant-Man Quantumania. If you you know what I'm talking about, then that's a tiny bit of spoiler there. But I'm just taking a sip of water there. So I'm going to get into the episode now. We're 10 minutes in, and I'm just now getting into the episode. I really need to stop going on tangents. So in this episode, Loki and Sylvie enter the tower, the big station at the end of all time, and I was freaking out because I had been saying it was going to be He Who Remains, or Miss Minutes, or both. And it turns out, I was right. I'm not going to gloat over it or anything, because originally I did think Richard E. Grant was going to be playing He Who Remains. But to be honest, the person they chose for the role makes so much more sense. And I will get into that. But so they enter the tower, and there's a little bit of a jump scare. The jump scare didn't get me. It didn't scare me, but it did really excite me, because I've been talking about Miss Minutes and the fact that they keep having all this advertising with her and this red version of Miss Minutes, this like demonic red version of Miss Minutes that keeps showing up in promo footage. Footage, but like posters and just all over. And there was one released shortly before the finale came out of Miss Minutes, but a red version of her next to the Timekeepers. And I saw that and I was freaking out internally, because that to me confirmed all my theories about her. Turns out I was a little bit wrong. She appeared, but she was just kind of like the gatekeeper. And it turns out He Who Remains was pulling the strings all along, which was my other main theory. So I guess they were kind of both doing it, but she was more of his lackey, which is what I thought. But it would have been cool too. You can't tell me that wouldn't be a very Loki thing for the show to do. This show would totally have a hologram talking Cuphead like clock be the final boss of the show. This Loki is bonkers. Loki the show is bonkers, and don't tell me that you don't think the show would have absolutely gone in that direction. Or maybe I'm crazy. Who knows? Probably both. But moving on. So Miss Minutes basically she offers them a chance that they could always have she offers them the chance of being able to go back onto the sacred timeline. I'm stupid. I just did air quotes, but you can't see me because this is a podcast. So I did air quotes. They'll put them back on the sacred timeline so that they could live out the lives they'd always wanted, and they could be together, because well, self-romance, that's happening. Some people are vomiting. Some people had really bad reactions to the whole Sylvie Loki relationship. Some people had like super positive reactions. Sophia DiMartino is hot. She's the actress who plays Sylvie. I can understand it. It is a little bit weird. It's definitely not normal. I can kind of understand it, but it just seems a little bit weird to me that, you know, it's different versions of yourself. Although it does make sense for Loki that he would fall in love with himself, because, I mean, that fits Loki so well. He's a narcissistic little son of a gun. I need to keep on topic here. So, they end up going to the tower where they meet Jonathan Majors playing He Who Remains. And Jonathan Majors kind of stole the show in this episode. He was great. And he was snacking on that Granny Smith. And I don't think I've ever brought this up. I love Granny Smith apples, one of my favorites. And that made me hungry watching it. It was like, what I did was I went to bed like super early, and then I set my alarm so that I could wake up at like 3 when the episode came out in my time zone. And I was really tempted to try and go and just find a way to get a Granny Smith, because I was tempted to pause it. It was a great endorsement for Granny Smith apples. Anyway, so Jonathan Majors comes out, reveals himself, and for those of you who don't know, Jonathan Majors will be playing Kang the Conqueror in Ant-Man Quantumania, which is what my earlier comment was about. I'm going to take another sip of water really quickly, so if you hear some drinking noises, that was me taking a sip of water. So, this is awesome on many levels. So many people were telling us that we're, and by us, I mean everyone who thought it was going to be Kang or He Who Remains, telling us that we were crazy and that it was going to be King Loki at the end. And I was also watching the series with my father, and that was the conclusion that he came to as well, and he didn't see any of the promo footage. So I have to throw it out there. I did originally, I mean, I thought it was, I wasn't, I had never thought that that would be the case. If it was, then that would have been kind of, I don't know, disappointing. Thankfully, they did not go in that direction. There was the reason it really blossomed and a lot of people started believing it is because there was some promo footage that had not been seen before, of, like, Loki on this golden throne. And that, what I believe that was and what I predicted that was, and it turns out it's all but confirmed that I was right, is that it was going to be when Miss Minutes offered that life on the sacred timeline that they could have, they would, instead of her, it just being them listening to Miss Minutes and Miss Minutes talking, they would flash to them actually being on the sacred timeline and Loki ruling Asgard, which is something she mentions. And so I think that was, they just decided not to put that footage in there and just have her talking to them, which I'm fine with. I think it would have been, it fits better, but either way it would have been good, would have worked well. But that's what that footage was, and we didn't end up seeing it in the season, so it was probably just cut either last minute or it was just not included in the it was not included in the episode. I wonder if it's in deleted scenes on Disney Plus. I haven't checked that actually. I doubt it though. It's always like a 6-second clip tops. So, but you know, that's how most Marvel crazy theories start, with like 6 seconds of footage. Anyway, so it turns out, and my dad hadn't seen that. He was just watching the show, and he came to the conclusion that it would be a King Loki as well. So maybe they were teasing that and subconsciously, and I just didn't pick up on it because I really wanted it to be either He Who Remains or Kang or Miss Minutes, and it was all of them. So I'm a very happy man. So, Kang the Conqueror. If you don't know who that is, I didn't really know too much about him either, so I had to do a little bit of research. I'm not a huge comics reader because if I did read any comics, it would be from the library, because my parents weren't always big on comics. So, I didn't really do a lot of that. But I would go to the library and I'd read some comics there, which I haven't done in a while. But I used to do that. So I would read, I read the Miles Morales run of comics, and these both Civil War runs and kind of stuff like that. Bigger, I wouldn't say bigger, but I hadn't read any anything involving King the Conqueror, which kind of gets into, you know, trippy time traveling stuff. And it's very complicated. Namely, like how he has, there's different versions of Kang and throughout history. One of them's a pharaoh, one of them's a scientist from like the 32nd century, something like that. There are many different versions of Kang. One of them's Iron Lad, I think, Iron Lad, and he is like a younger version, it's like a younger Iron Man, but he's not Tony Stark, he's a younger version of Kang. and he doesn't really know it until then. Anyway, I'm probably spoiling some comics for some people, but I'm very sorry about that. I don't know too much about Kang. I do know kind of the rudimentary basics, though. You could probably watch some videos on YouTube involving Kang. And you could pick up what you need to know. So Kang, I'm going to explain it to you, so I don't know why I said that. Kang, he's basically a time-traveling warlord who takes different pieces of reality and that he likes best, and he puts them into his own little bubble world called, I'm blanking on the name of the world. Chronopolis, that's it, Chronopolis. It's an interesting name, Chronopolis, and so all those pieces go into, so you'll have pieces from, let's see, like, I don't know, you'll have a medieval castle next to a futuristic city from, like, the 31st century, and that'll all be mashed together. That's Chronopolis, and Kang rules over all of it. It's his favorite chosen pieces, and you'll have like the Sphinx over and the pyramids of Giza and so on. I think my parents weren't big on video games either, but I think he was in one of the Lego Marvel games. That whole thing. So if you guys ever played any of those, it's the same guy. Traditionally has a blue face. He's like a blue-skinned, I don't know if he's an alien or a human or just like a, I don't know. He got Willy Wonka'd or something, but blue skin. Whatever. It's the comics. Things look a little crazier in the comics. But I'm interested to see how they're going to make the transition from that to the big screen. Probably, definitely still blue skin and everything. But in this, he who remains looks like Jonathan Majors in real life. They didn't do any of the crazy blue skin stuff. It's just him and some nice purple and I think there was a little bit of green on his robes too. Some nice purple and green robes. And I loved Jonathan Majors' whole demeanor throughout the entire thing, throughout the entire episode. It was just vibrant and full of life and just very eccentric and fun. It wasn't a big like showdown. It wasn't a big battle. And I think some people were expecting that, but I liked it because I guess if you really think about it, it was mostly the finale was just full of exposition. But it was brilliantly done because it was shown and explained by Jonathan Majors in such a talented and entertaining way that you didn't really think you were, or it didn't seem like just exposition. It didn't seem like just information and nothing exciting. He always made the information he was putting out visual and fun to look at and entertaining, which that's usually the ideal in TV shows and movies and just acting in general. He did a great job is basically what I'm trying to say. Jonathan Majors, great job in the episode. Tom Hiddleston as Loki was great. Sophia DiMartino as Sylvie was great. Trust issues came back into this, but I'll get into that later. So Kang, he who remains, basically explains to Loki and Sylvie he's been pulling the strings all along, boom boom boom, dun dun dun, and that he came from, I think it's the 32nd century. This 32nd century, and he invented interdimensional travel. And it turns out at the same time, a bunch of different variant or not variants, but versions of him from other universes, or other dimensions, universes. This could get tricky. Other versions of him from other timelines. I don't know if I can explain this as easily as Jonathan Majors did. Basically, a bunch of different versions of him solved interdimensional travel at the same time, and they all kind of they all crossed the multiverse, and they all kind of just hung out. And for a little while, apparently, there was peace, self-narcissistic peace. They were all complimenting each other on how great they were. But after a while, it broke out into war, a multiversal war, which is what was teased and kind of said in the TVA, little animated briefing video. I don't know what you even call that. With Miss Minutes in the very first episode. It was in the very first episode. But instead of the timekeepers, you know, stopping the multiversal war, the multiversal war was between Kangs, and how he who remains, Immortus, I believe he was also called Immortus. Or am I getting mixed up? There are so many different versions of Kang. It will boggle your mind. I'm just going to call him Kang for simplicity, because he was called Immortus, and He Who Remains, and just so many things. I don't know if they called him Immortus in the finale as well. He has a lot of names. I'm just going to call him Kang. Kang defeated the other Kangs with Eliath, and he had them all basically devoured, and then he created TVA to prune timelines that would end up with other Kangs discovering multiversal travel and possibly undermining him. So that's the purpose of the TVA, is to stop other Kangs from sprouting up and trying to undermine him. So, by the way, just remember, this is going back a little bit. Iron Lad, which is another version of Kang, is called Nathaniel Richards. I'm not sure if he's related to Mr. Fantastic or not, but I just remember his Nathaniel Richards that just popped back into my head. So that was the purpose of the TVA. So that was revealed, and basically he offers Sylvie and Loki the chance to rule the TVA and take over his job, because he's getting kind of a charlie in the chocolate. I'm making a lot of Willy Wonka analogies this episode, but kind of a Charlie in the Chocolate Factory type deal, where he's older than he looks, and he's getting tired, and he's going to hand it over to these two lucky, to these lucky new people, whether it be Charlie or Sylvie and Loki. I guess that's really just one person, Loki. That's two of them, two Lokis, Loki variants. I'm not going to think about that too much. Offers them basically to take over his job and rule the whole, rule the TVA, the multiverse, I suppose. Sylvie just wants to kill him, but he explains that if they kill him, other it will cause the timeline to break and branch out, and other variants of him will take over the multiverse, and multiverse will splinter off again. So here's the thing. Kang knows exactly what they're going to do up until a certain point, and that's why when Sylvie was trying to kill him earlier by swinging her around her machete, I'm not exactly sure. It's like a short sword or a long knife or a machete. It's some bladed weapon, whatever it's classified as, why she was trying to kill him earlier. That's just an easier way to say it. When she was trying to kill him earlier, he was able to dodge and move away because he knew exactly what it was. It was all scripted up till this one point when reality started branching off. And that is when Sylvie and Loki have their disagreement, and Loki... Sorry about that. My sponsored segment cut into there. Essentially, what I was saying was that Kang wants them to choose. He offers them this choice. Sylvie wants to just kill Kang and risk the consequences risk the possible consequences that it splinter off into multiversal war, and variants of Kang could take over from all different sides and just be this massive chaos. And the sacred timeline would be destroyed. Loki is, he's listening to Kang, and he's taking Kang's word for it, and he decides that, well, maybe it's a better idea not to have multiversal war. I don't know why I can't say that right now. It's kind of important, being able to speak while recording a podcast. So, Sylvie thinks that Loki's just being the conniving little Loki that he is. In this one instance, he's not being conniving. And she thinks he's trying to take over the multiverse because that was his plan all along, that he wanted to rule and be the ruler of the multiverse. And this mad thirst for power. That's not actually what Loki here was after. He wanted to have a nice, happy little life with Sylvie. But, she thinks that he's betraying her and all this, so she gets mad at him and, does the rational thing and tries to kill him. So that happens, and then, then he tries to reason with her. She's still trying to kill him. Then she kisses him. That goes on for a while. And I know it was supposed to be an emotional moment, and I'm very sorry. Jonathan Majors stole the scene because he was just peering over from over there by his desk. And, what's going on over there? I was laughing during that. Some people were crying, probably, and I'm probably a horrible person for laughing, but I just couldn't help but laugh. Jonathan Majors was just... he was gold. Kang likes to watch. Anyway, so then she kicks him through a portal and sends him back to TVA, or so she thinks. And then Kang warns her one more time. Then she, impales him through the chest because she's rational like that. And he says this creepy little thing. He's like, "See you soon." See you soon. I don't know why I said it like that. Anyway, so he says, "See you soon," which is, a tease to him being in Ant-Man Quantumania, which is a Marvel movie I'm actually excited for. And Ant-Man Quantumania should be pretty fun. I've been a fan of all the Ant-Man films so far. Been pretty funny. Pretty enjoyable. Anyway, not talking about that right now. She kills Kang, and the multiverse splinters off. And this is the point where I need to address the B-plot of this episode, which is Owen Wilson, also known as Mobius, versus Renslayer and the TVA. Now, I might be slightly partial, because I'm a big Owen Wilson fan, but Mobius was my favorite character in this series, and I was really upset when he got pruned, because I honestly thought he had died. And then by the end of the episode, they killed Tom Hiddleston, and I thought maybe the show was going really bonkers and was killing off Tom Hiddleston. And then I was probably proved wrong by the post-credits scene, 2.5 minutes later. But anyway, So Mobius has gone back to the TVA after splitting up with Loki and Sylvie, and wishing them good luck as they went after He Who Remains, after the source and the creator of the TVA. Mobius, meanwhile, has gone back to the TVA, and he goes after Renslayer to try and basically tell the rest of the TVA that they are puppets, and they're not doing the bidding of the timekeepers, and the timekeepers were just puppets and mechanical robots. Fun little thing, by the way. It turns out that Jonathan Majors voiced all three of the timekeepers, obviously with some voice modulators involved, but he did do the voices for all three of the timekeepers, which I thought was a nice little touch there. So Mobius goes back, and basically he gets some of the TVA agents to chase him to Renslayer's classroom. That pen, I think it was like Washington High School, something like that. That was a souvenir from when she was back on the timeline before, because it turned out everyone in the TVA was variants. So the version of her on the sacred timeline was a teacher, and she was a teacher at that high school. it's a little bit of a jump from high school teacher to head of the time variance authority and printing different variants from multiversal timelines, but maybe it has better pay. I wouldn't know. So the TVA agent, basically, at first he thinks that she's the Renslayer that he knows, and then eventually they figure it out. The TVA all figures out that they've been bamboozled, and Mobius confronts Renslayer in her office. They fight. Renslayer goes to, she totally could have killed Mobius. Mobius, my man, he's not the best fighter. Let's be honest, he's not really much of a fighter. He's Mobius, he's a stand-up guy, and he needs a jet ski, by the way. I'm not furious that he wasn't riding on a jet ski, because there's no way they could have predicted that, the fans would have really wanted to see him on a jet ski that bad, but need to get Mobius his own jet ski so he can go around, and we need to see him on a jet ski, because, he was talking about jet skis the whole time, and I'm tempted to try and do an Owen Wilson impression. I can do Russian. I can do like this Russian dude, which I will be saving for the Black Widow movie review. And yes, I'm doing movie reviews now. So it's not just the shows, which means extra content for you guys, more late nights for me. But yes, there's a little announcement right there. If you're actually still listening right now, thanks for listening, first of all. And Matei, if that's you, good on you. Also, answer your texts. You don't reply for whatever reason, but I know you see them. So if you're listening to this and you're not answering my texts for whatever reason, because you're, let's face it, you're a little bit lazy. I'm just kidding. For those of you, nobody knows, but Matei's a friend of mine, and sometimes he listens to these. I know he's listened to all of them. I don't know if he's still listening to this one, because it's been months since I've put out one, but if he is, hi. Anyway, I do have listeners from all over the world. The platform that I use and our sponsor allows me to see that the platform that I use allows me to see where my listeners, where they're, where, basically what country they're from, Don't get freaked out. I don't know your addresses or anything. But like, basically, it allows me to see what country you guys are from. And I would have thought everyone would have been, like, you know, primarily in, like, I don't know, the United States or in Britain or in, I don't know, Canada. But I have listeners from all over the world, which is really interesting and really cool. There are people from all over, like the Netherlands. I have a couple of Russian listeners, which is really cool. A couple of listeners in, I would have to go to the little list of all the countries where my listeners are. You guys are the best, by the way. But it's just really cool that people all over the world are listening, and it's thank you for listening. It's really cool that it's not that my audience isn't just limited to one region or one place or even one country. And that's really cool. I just started doing this podcast for fun, and it's gotten way bigger than I ever thought it would. I'm not going to share the analytics just for the sake of privacy, but it is a lot. and it is a lot more than I ever expected it would be. So thank you for listening, everyone. It's not the end of the podcast. I just wanted to thank you guys really quickly. Okay, getting back to it. Mobius. My favorite. Renslayer easily knocks him over. He's an analyst. He's not a TBA security guard or whatever the agent. He's not a TBA agent. He's a TBA analyst. So he hasn't been trained for fighting. He was trained to, you know, study reports and papers and talk to people. Anyway, I'm going on about this for too long. Renslayer goes to the portal, that little portal thingy, because she's got her device, and goes off to wherever it may be that she was going. We have no idea. Going off into season two, shall we say. Hopefully, there's a season two. Please let there be a season two. There has to be a season two, right? It's been super popular. Definitely the best out of all of the MCU, or the Disney Plus MCU shows. Except for Mandalorian. I can't pick between the two universes because they're completely different things. Don't ask me to compare them. I love both of them. But yes, definitely the best of the Marvel Disney Plus shows. Here's the thing. When Loki gets back and gets sent through that portal from Sylvie, he immediately runs to Loki. Loki immediately runs to Owen Wilson. Immediately runs to Mobius, excuse me, and Hunter B-15. And they're discussing something or another near the little like library file section, and they're talking about all this, talking about something. Loki runs up and he's all freaked out because stuff just went down. Let's be honest. And so he runs up to go tell them, and he's like out of breath. He's freaking out. His arm is bleeding. He's in rough shape. So they look at him. They're looking at him like they don't know him. They're very confused. They ask him where he works, what's his designation. And then they call security on him. But Loki is not paying attention to them anymore, because something else, something bigger, has his attention. And it's the massive, ginormous statue of Kang the Conqueror, a la Jonathan Majors, standing in the place of where the three timekeeper statues used to be. Meaning, Loki's either in a different version of the TVA, which I didn't even know was possible, or a different timeline, or somehow the TVA was reset with all of the same variants. Or maybe it's the TVA has branched off, and he's in a different, in the multiverse, he's in a different universe where there's a different TVA controlling that universe instead of, you could get really into this. It could go down deep, and then your brain would hurt. I'm not going to try and do that, because I have a bunch of other things to record, and my brain does not need any extra hurting. So I just want to say, this series was amazing. It's definitely the best of the Marvel Disney Plus shows. And as it was coming to a close, I was just happy to sit back and watch and be a viewer, and to be able to speculate on these things and have theories and run with these things. And I think the thing that was most fun about it is that it wasn't boring, rote, same stuff that you would expect from a show. It was crazy. It did nuts things. You had an alligator Loki. You had Thor as a frog. You had, I mean, you had all sorts of bonkers things going on all the time. Hopping from one place to the next, nothing was the same. Everything was different. Everything was crazy. You couldn't trust certain people. You couldn't trust anyone. You could trust everyone. It was sending mixed messages. It was all over the place. You had some medieval stuff. You had all over the place in a good way. It was just a culmination of so many crazy things that I didn't know I needed. I didn't know I needed the show in my life, but it was so good. I love the design of the TVA with all of the mix of the retro and futuristic stuff. I was a big fan of the eerie, communist or type art that they had on the walls of the courtroom. That really freaked me out. It didn't freak me out, but it was just kind of, it was a little bit trippy, because I kind of recognized that as a it was just an interesting design I did with the TVA overall. It was very well done. It was just such an interesting and original series. But at the same time, it felt like part of the MCU, you know? It did ruin the past movies a little bit for me, because if it kind of takes away the stakes from the other movies a little bit, because if that was all predestined to happen, if that exact outcome didn't happen, then it would be pruned. And TVA agents would hop in everywhere and prune the heck out of that thing. But at this point, the timeline is branched off and splintered, so it's not that way anymore. It is its own. I don't know what I'm saying. It was a great series. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I've loved covering the series with you, and I'm super thankful for you guys listening. It's been a blast, and I will see you guys next time.